Carol, did you smell those wonderful spices on your way in? Someone is getting ready to make a delicious meal.
Oh, I know, and it's making me hungry. Hello, and welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol, and of course, Tammy is here with me. Smells can really affect us, can't they? Tell me, what is your favorite smell?
I love cinnamon, but onions make me cry. Do you have any smells that you don't like? What we breathe in can make such a difference in our body. It makes us remember things. It can make us hungry, make us feel sick, and can even affect our nose, our throat, or our lungs.
The perfect example of this is cigarette smoke. It can make us remember the smell of someone we loved who smoked. It can make someone feel relaxed if they always smoked at break time.
But for some of us, it can make us feel sick. I really hate the smell of stale smoke.
And all of us can become unwell from cigarette smoke, whether we are smoking the cigarette or someone next to us is smoking, or even if the smell is just on their clothes.
Let's talk today about some ways that smoke affects those around us, and then think about some tips for those who are trying to stop smoking.
Tammy, do you remember my neighbor Margie? She is trying to stop smoking at the moment.
Sure. Isn't she pregnant again?
That's right. It's her second child, and she is 7 months pregnant.
What made her decide to stop?
Well, she sees that smoking is really affecting her whole family, and it costs so much. She has finally decided it's really time to stop.
That's true. Cigarettes do take up precious money that could be spent on other things.
She said that she figures that if she stopped smoking for a whole year and save the money, that she would be able to buy a new bicycle.
But is that the only reason?
Sadly, no. She told me that her doctor said that she really must stop smoking because her baby isn't growing properly inside of her.
Margie does look a bit smaller than 7 months along. You know, the part of the womb that connects between the mother and the baby is called the placenta, and it supplies all the things the baby needs to grow. When you smoke, it stops the blood flowing properly into the placenta. So smoking can really affect the baby growing.
And my midwife friend told me that the placenta of a woman who smokes is very different than a woman who does not smoke. The blood vessels are harder and narrower and even smaller. And this means the baby is small, too, because it doesn't get all that it needs to grow.
I've heard people say that they don't mind a small baby as it comes out more easily.
That may be true, but a baby that is small because it isn't able to grow is much more of a problem. The baby of a woman who smokes is much more likely to be born early, to even die during birth, or have breathing problems when it is born. A healthy baby is much easier to care for.
Smoking early in pregnancy makes the mother more likely to have morning sickness.
And if her body is healthier, she can cope with the birth more easily.
Well, that sounds like lots of good reasons to stop smoking.
Yes, but it's hard for lots of people.
Does she have any other reason to stop?
You know, her son Jack is 2, and he keeps getting sick. Her doctor said that the smoke is affecting him.
I was afraid of that. Children are more likely to get sick if there's smoke in the home. Even if the parents only smoke outside, the smoke carries in with them through their clothes. My grandfather always smelled of his pipe smoke, even though he only smoked outside.
The smoke can make children have lots of problems. Poor Jack has had another ear infection, and the doctor said that he might have hearing problems if he gets many more.
He hasn't had any chest infections or asthma yet.
Not yet, but you know, you're right. Smoking around children can cause asthma or breathing problems and make them get chest infections.
It can also increase the risk of cot death. That's when a baby suddenly dies in its sleep with no clear reason.
So with a sick 2-year-old, a small baby not growing inside of her, and the birth coming up soon, that's a great idea for Margie to stop smoking.
Oh, and don't forget the new bicycle.
So I was talking with Margie about some ways to help her stop.
So, Carol, what tips do you have?
Well, I guess the first thing is that we need to recognize that it can be hard. But even if she just cuts back or stops until the baby is born, that's a great achievement. Sometimes it takes a few times to succeed and stop completely, especially if you have been smoking a long time.
And it takes a while. A new habit, like not smoking, takes about 8 weeks to set in.
That's right. We talked about her taking some concrete steps, like setting a date for her to start. That's tomorrow. She's going to get rid of all the cigarettes in the house tomorrow morning.
Wow, that is a big first step. Has Margie got anyone to help her?
Well, that's just it. Her husband smokes too.
Mm.
But he has decided that it's time to stop as well. So they're going to do it together. He heard that smoking can cause cancer in the lungs, mouth, throat, and bladder. And one of his uncles is a smoker. He now has emphysema, which means lung problems. His uncle can hardly leave the house without being short of breath. And then he heard that his boss at work had a heart attack and that he was a heavy smoker.
Smoking can sure cause a lot of health problems. It's good that they have each other's help.
He will find it hard, you know, because lots of his friends smoke. And often the smell is so tempting for someone who has smoked. But he's going to ask them not to offer him smokes, and if he asks them for one, not to give it to him.
It's good to be realistic that there are things that they will miss.
Yes, it is. There may be enjoyable things about smoking, but Margie has thought hard about all the reasons to stop. When she's tempted to smoke, she's going to count these 5 things on her fingers: the money, her baby, her son, her own health, and her husband's health. A nice way to remember.
And she can do something else when she feels like she wants a cigarette, like a cup of tea or eat a peppermint.
You know, we talked about that very thing. We were hoping that the smell and the taste would then help her to forget the cigarette. And Margie said that she would walk around to my house to distract herself from the idea of smoking and do something healthy.
So, Carol, your tips are: find someone to help you, tell your friends and family, set a date and get rid of all the cigarettes. Think about the things you'll miss and have a plan of what you'll do instead, like a cup of tea, a mint, or chew some gum. Remember the reasons why you want to stop. Do something to distract yourself if you feel like smoking, like visit a friend.
And if you do have a cigarette, don't let it discourage you. You can always stop again, even if you only cut back or stop for a short time. You are doing your body and your family some good.
You know what I think might be fun? When Margie stops smoking, she'll be able to smell and taste food better. I think we might need to cook her a nice spicy meal to take around to celebrate.
Great idea.
Family by my side. Try my best to live a godly life, and to shake this foolish pride. Oh, Jesus, you're the only way for me. Let your light shine,
so that everyone can see.
Lord, you are the best in me.
You're my healing heart and my eyes to see, yeah.
Lord, you are the best in me.
Every humble part, all I want to be, yeah, yeah. Your word is wisdom, and a light unto my soul. I don't ever feel alone in the world, no. When I know that you're in control, whoa, Jesus, there isn't anyone like you. Let your light shine, show me how to live for you.
Lord, you are the best in me.
You're my healing heart and my eyes to see, yeah.
Lord, you are the best in me.
Every humble part, all I want to be, yeah, yeah. Isn't anyone like you? Let your light shine, show me how to live for you. Oh,
Lord, you are the best in me.
You're my healing heart and my eyes to see, yeah.
Lord, you are the best in me.
Every humble part, all I want to be, yeah.
Lord, you are the best in me.
You're my healing arm in my eyes to see. Lord, you really
are.
Lord, you are the best in me. Every humble bond.
Hello again. We're here on Women of Hope, and we've been talking about how we could give up smoking. Our friend Naomi is here again, and she has written a book about some of the experiences that she has had in her life. And she has been sharing those stories with us. So, Naomi, what are you going to tell us about today?
Well, this story is about something that happened in Australia, but it starts and finishes in Nepal. And when we first went to Nepal and were living there, surrounded by poverty and issues to do with poverty, we actually made a list of things that we would never do once we got back to Australia. So we decided that we wouldn't have a pet because they seemed to use up money that could be spent on other good things. And we also decided that we wouldn't send our children to a private school. And the last thing on our list was that we weren't going to make big changes or improvements to our house. Because it seemed to us while we were living in Nepal that a lot of our friends in Australia, well, they thought a great deal about improving their houses while we were there in Nepal trying to deal with issues to do with poverty. So we decided then that we didn't want to do something that took so much time and money and energy. But then, of course, a few years later, we were living in Australia and we did actually decide that we needed, or we wouldn't wanted to make our house better. So first of all, we built a big wooden deck on the back of our house, and it was very nice. Our boys loved it. They would run up and down it with their toy trucks. And I loved it as well. I loved sitting there and having a cup of tea and looking out over the big gully with trees and a lovely view. And the thing was, though, that we had just finished the deck. I don't think we'd even had a barbecue on it when we actually heard that there was a bushfire heading straight towards us. And the thing is, there are always bushfires in Australia in the summer. But that year, the bushfires had been very bad in our area, and we were told that we had to be ready to leave our house very quickly because of the risk of the fire. So we had packed all of our photos and special things in the car, ready to leave if we needed to. And it was getting worse. The sky turned dark red. There was ash and smoke. We could even see flames just on the next ridge across from us. We'd also heard that 8 houses had been burnt down nearby and more had been damaged. In fact, our friends from church, Lance and Cecily, they had lost everything. A wall of flames hit the side of their house, which caught fire. They were then trapped in the house for 10 minutes, and then they escaped out their front door with their clothes on the backs that they were wearing. And by the time they got to their front gate, their whole house was in fire. So they were, of course, in shock. They had been so close to serious injury, but they were thankful that they were alive and they couldn't stop talking about it. They were sad about losing their house and their things, but they were so thankful to be alive. And the fire had destroyed a big collection of musical instruments and chess sets that they'd been collecting, crafts and quilt. But you know what? 2.5 years later, Lance and Cecily came to visit us in Nepal. And there we were again on our back deck and in Nepal this time, talking about that time in our lives, because they had rebuilt their house. But I think that losing your house and all your possessions, it changes you. It changed them. So while we were talking, we were also busy making 19 jars of plum jam because we had a plum tree in our garden in Nepal. And we were storing them up in the cupboard and we were talking together about storing up things. And Lance says, well, he doesn't collect chess sets anymore. And Cecily feels sort of strange inside when she makes too many jars of pickles. And their son, Roger, he often reminds them of what they learnt during that time. And he looks at them and he says, Barnes. And Barnes might seem like a strange word to use as a reminder, but Roger was reminding them of a story in the Bible. And this is a story that Jesus, God's son, told when he lived on earth. And he started by saying, watch out and guard yourself from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be. And then he told them this story. He said, there was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do? I know. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Make yourself comfortable. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool. This very night you'll have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself? And Jesus concluded, this is how it is with those who pile up money for themselves but are not rich in God's sight.
We've heard this story before, haven't we? This rich man wanted to keep his good things for himself. He didn't want to depend on God or anyone else, and he didn't want to share. He just wanted to have money and enjoy it. But his full barns weren't any use to him when he died. So, Naomi, what did you learn in that time when the brush fires came?
Well, we realized that there are lots of things in our lives to distract us and take our time and attention. We all want to make our homes safe and comfortable. And the way we make our homes beautiful is different depending on where we live or what we're like, but we all do it somehow. We surround ourselves with colour and things and call it home, and there's nothing wrong with that. The colours and the things, they have meaning, they're comfortable and lovely, they bring in the beauty of the world around us, the beauty that God gave us to enjoy. And the thing is, for us, we have broken nearly all of those rules we made when we first went to Nepal. But we've realised over time that it wasn't the rules that were important. It was the reason we made them in the first place. When we made those rules, we didn't want anything to trap us. We didn't want to get so involved in something that would distract us from God. We wanted to spend our time and energy doing what God really wanted us to do on this earth. And it's not bad to have good schools or pets or to fix our houses. But we saw that our friends were distracted by them, and we didn't want to lose sight of the things that are really important to God.
Can enjoy the beautiful world around us and follow God at the same time. The hard part is to know when those nice things are trapping us, taking our attention away from what is most important.
That's right. So sometimes in the busy days, improving our house, well, we did feel a bit trapped. But on other days, it was rewarding and fun, and we felt that we could give it all up if we had to. And I think for all of us, it's hard to remember that everything around us will pass away. These things are not eternal. They don't last forever. And the rich man in Jesus' story also forgot this. His harvest was so big one year that he pulled down his barns and built bigger ones. Then he thought he would be okay. He thought all his worries were over. But he died that night. And Jesus told the crowd that this is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich in God's eyes. And the thing is for us, let's try to make sure that our lives are rich in God's way. Let's watch our hearts to make sure we are spending time and energy and resources on what is important. And let's all ask God to keep showing us when we're being trapped or distracted by the things around us. For us, the fire made us look at our hearts and think about what was really important. And I think when we were being distracted by these things around us, God kept reminding us that He was our reason for living.
Thank you for that story, Naomi. It makes us think about what is really important in our lives. What distracts me from putting God first? What distracts you?
I think that we are really rich if we have love in our lives and if we can do things to help others and make our world a better place, especially if we are trusting God and living the way He wants us to live. We are rich if we know that we will spend eternity with God in heaven. I think I need to watch out for the nice things that take up too much of my thoughts and my time.
So I hope we'll all put God first as we make decisions this week. I pray that your week is happy and safe, and you know God's presence in your life each day.
To go now. If you would like to contact us, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at Women of Hope.
The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.